عدم نسبة شيء من الأعمال الصالحة إلى نفوسهم إلا بقدر نسبة التكليف فقط. What that means is, any good deed that they do, they don't attribute it to themselves that I did this. I did this many rakats of tahajjud, or I gave this much in charity, or I built this, or I did this, or I established this. Apparently you did do it. But in reality, if Allah didn't give you the tawfiq to do it, didn't give me the tawfiq to do it, didn't give the person and put let somebody else do it. Because at the end of the day, the fact that all of these factors and everything came together to allow you to do this, it's from Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een, amma ba'd. We were going through the adab of the awliya Allah, of the people close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the righteous. And one of their adab, the next one he's speaking about, is إِذَا مُدِحُوا أَن يُكْثِرُوا مِنَ الشُّكْرِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ وَأَن يَقُولُوا اللهم أنت أعلم بنا منهم اللهم اجعلنا خيرا مما يظنون ولا تؤاخذنا بما يقولون واغفر لنا ما لا يعلمون. This is something that they will, this is something that people who become a bit famous or well known, and then people start seeing, thinking that all the benefit in this area or the benefit here is coming because of him, because of his lectures, or because of his assistance, or because of his contribution, or whatever it is. Because human beings, we look at apparent connections. So generally, people who are in active positions get praised, which can be very dangerous. So this is an adab of how to deal with that praise. So he's saying that their adab in this regard is that if they are praised, then they abundantly thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the praise they're getting. They abundantly thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not necessarily for the praise, but the fact that Allah has given them some honor. Because honor is a really valuable thing. But at the same time, they do istighfar, at the same time. And in the whole idea of the istighfar is they're saying, oh Allah, you are way more, you know lot more about me than them. You are more knowledgeable about me than them. Oh Allah, make me better than what they think I am. So it's great that they think like this, but make me in reality better than what they think. And do not take me to task for what they are saying, and I don't have it, and maybe I've given a false impression. Whatever the case is, don't get me for that. And forgive us for what they don't know. Because we have issues, forgive us for what they don't know about us. A very important dua that is, because this is a state where people get intoxicated. Praise has this corrupting possibility. That's why. The next one he talks about is لا يعتمدون على كسبهم ومن آدابهم أنهم لا يعتمدون على كسبهم. فَإِنَّ الْاِعْتِمَادَ عَلَى الْكَسْبِ شِرْكٌ. Another one of their etiquette is that, you know, whatever they're earning, or what they think they're going to earn, they got a good job, or they're getting money from a certain source or whatever, they do not fully rely on that. They don't rely on that. Because to rely on your earning is shirk. Relying on your earning is shirk. Although it seems a bit more solid that if I do this work, that I'm going to be owed this much money, so this is how much income I'll get. So it seems a bit stronger than saying, if I give this sadaqah, then I'll get this barakah. Because that one seems a bit more difficult. Do you understand? Or if I take this medicine, then I'll get better. It just, at the end of the day, it's all a sabab. Or if I make this dua, my dua is going to be accepted or not. So at the end of the day, it's all a sabab. It's all a means. And He's saying that to rely on any kind of earning is shirk. Because you're relying on yourself to think that you got the power to bring in your income. It's shirk billahi azza wa jal. He said that we've mentioned in other parts. He says of this treatise, he's talking about his longer book. He's mentioned in there how to avoid, how to escape from that kind of shirk. And then he says, anybody who's able to escape from not relying on his earning, but relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a mu'min. He is the believer who will then get his income from where he would never have even thought that it would come. Once a person stops relying on himself or herself, that I'm going to do this and this is the money and income that I'm going to make, and they go beyond and think, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, but I know that Allah is the one who's giving me. Full yaqeen like that. Not just the belief, but yaqeen. There's a difference between, I believe that that's the case, but I can't walk the walk, really. You know, that's not what I think. Because they would not be willing to give up their time for others. The person who has yaqeen will be willing to give up his time if there was a need to give the Sharia some kind of preponderance over your work schedule sometimes. So anyway, once a person becomes like that and becomes khalis in his understanding and his conviction and yaqeen, then he is that believer who will get his wealth from where he could never have thought he will get it. وَمِنْ أَدَابِهِمْ. And this is so true. Somebody just told me the other day, he said that his father-in-law is a very wealthy man. Allah's given him a lot. And he says this is what his father-in-law taught him. If you go after money, then you will have to work hard. The day that you decide that I'm not going to go after money, but I'm going to have other motivations in my life, then money will come after you. If you have pious motivations in your life, your focus becomes different, and not just everything you do is to get some money or income, but your focus becomes higher achievements than that for the sake of Allah and the Ummah, then the money will come to you. And it's all based on a hadith. And he's saying this from experience, because his father-in-law is a very wealthy man. It doesn't mean you don't try. You try, but your focus is that you're also doing something for the sake of your deen. You have broader horizons than just earning money. You're doing more than that. Money is just part of the deal. It's just you've got bigger ideas than that. وَمِنْ آدَابِهِمْ عَدَمُ نِسْبَةِ شَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ إِلَىٰ نُفُوسِهِمْ إِلَّا بِقَدْرِ نِسْبَةِ التَّكْلِيفِ فَقَطْ. What that means is, any good deed that they do, they don't attribute it to themselves that I did this. I did this many rakats of tahajjud, or I gave this much in charity, or I built this, or I did this, or I established this. Apparently, you did do it. But in reality, if Allah didn't give you the tawfiq to do it, didn't give me the tawfiq to do it, didn't give the person and let somebody else do it, because at the end of the day, the fact that all of these factors and everything came together to allow you to do this, it's from Allah. So this person has gone beyond the apparent image and understood the inner workings. It's like, I am just looking at my clock, my watch, that it is giving me the right time. As long as it gives me the right time, I'm happy with it. Now somebody comes and opens it up, starts showing how each clock figures in this whole thing. It's like, wow, it's a lot more complicated system. Right, it's just not what the apparent, you know. So most of us, we're just still playing with the apparent. Then that's where we're losing. It's really about the fact that Allah is behind everything. That's when it really matters. Just to get into that higher level. Think at that higher level. So that's why Ibn Ata'illah says in many of his wisdom, he says that, are you hoping for reward for the good deeds you do? Isn't it enough reward that Allah chose you to be able to even do the deeds in the first place? Because there's so many people who don't do the deeds. What percentage of Muslims in any country pray namaz, pray salat, perform prayer? you know, just think about it. So the fact that somebody has been selected as that 20% or 30%, it's a massive issue. Then he says that they only say that this is my action, in the sense that I was responsible to do it, I was accountable to do it because it's wajib or it's fard, so I did it. So in terms of that, yeah, it's my deed because I need to fulfill my fard. But in terms of the actual deed coming into existence and it being a good deed and everything, that's Allah. That's Allah's tawfiq. Alhamdulillah. That's why the way the Sufis look at this is that what they are saying is that any amal, any action, which the person links to its apparent image, then it's not going to be accepted. It's meaning there's no qubuliyat in it. It's accepted as a fard, your fard is fulfilled. But in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, you know, you've really just attributed to yourself. Whoever thinks that he did the action, then his action is his. It's not an action by his Lord. And whoever really understands this well, حَقَّكَ النَّظَرُ, whoever has basirat and true insight, penetrates, then he will realize that really for the makhluk, the human being, there's really no effect. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just that the judgment is made that we did this so that there's we fulfilled our obligation. And most people don't make a distinction between the fact that this is my fard that I'm fulfilling and the fact that Allah gave me the tawfiq to do it. That's why many people, they have not made their actions purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a reward of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed to come about on their hands. What Allah allowed for them to do, they then ask Allah for reward for that. Whereas it's Allah who gave them the ability to do that in the first place. And then, if the action that they did had anything to do with favoring somebody else or assisting somebody else, then we will also ask them for reward. So Allah gave us the ability to help somebody out. So it's a good deed that's just not like praying for yourself, but it's assisting someone else, sadaqah or anything like that, or zakat or whatever, and Allah gave us the tawfiq to give our zakat. Then because it's benefited somebody else, now we want them to reward us as well. Saying that if they were to stop associating the action to themselves and start understanding that Allah is the one who allowed them to do it in the first place and enabled them to do it, then they would not ask even for a reward from Allah, and neither would they ever ask for a reward from anybody else for that matter. That's why it's إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you do we worship, only you do we seek assistance from. He says, but people, they just say this in tilawah, they just read this. Not, they don't really understand it's inside, and the reality of it. Another thing, as you can see, these are very high realms, but if we don't even know that this is a way to think, then we'll never be in that. We'll never even think like that. But at least now we understand that, and we all believe, obviously, that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing is that they do not use their own honor, and they don't show off about their own honor or independence. They don't use that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because how can you? Allah is the independent one. Allah is the honorable one. In fact, what they do is they associate with themselves humility and need. That's the way they stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any matter, whether it's a dunyawi matter or a matter for the akhirah, whether they want something of this world or whether they want some barakah for the hereafter, then they do not act all independent in their dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they act with complete need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in terms of the dunya, it's better to be independent, not ask anybody for anything. But you can't do that with Allah, because you're acting like a semi-autonomous, independent being, whereas we're not. Allah owns us. We are His possession. We do we're his servants, we're absolute slaves. That's why he says that إِذَا تَوَجَّهْتَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَوَجَّهْ إِلَيْهِ وَأَنْتَ فَقِيرٌ ذَلِيلٌ, then turn to him in a state that you are in need and you are humble. فَإِنَّ غِنَاكَ وَعِزَّتَكَ وَإِنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَمْنَعَانِكَ الْإِجَابَةِ, because you're acting independent and your self-honor, even though that's you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in this state between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will prevent you from an answer. It will prevent you from getting a response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reason, these two attributes of independence and honor, self-dignity, these are intrinsic attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And although he's told us to use them, you can't use them in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You use them with others. Do you understand this one? It's like, although we're told to not ask anybody else for help and we're trying to be self-sufficient and self-dignified, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't do that with him, because he is the one who's self-dignified and self-enduring and independent. And we're servants, so let's act our part with Allah, but not with others. Let's not be slaves of anybody else, but in front of Allah, we are complete slaves. The next one is another of their adab is لا يسألون الله شيئا من أمور الدارين إلا مع التفويض ورد العلم إليه سبحانه عملا بعموم قوله تعالى وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Another of their adab is that they do not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything related to either this world or next, or the next, except all, while also consigning the result of that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leaving the knowledge of it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. What does that mean exactly? That means that when they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about something, they also leave the response in Allah's hand, that if you think it's better for me. Not that, oh, give this to me. The reason why they do this is because it says in the Quran that sometimes you may dislike something whereas it's better for you. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَوْ شَيْءٌ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Or sometimes you may love something but it's actually bad for you. And Allah knows and you do not know. So what the way they would make their dua would be, Allahumma a'tini kada wa kada in kana fihi khayrun li, wasrif anni kada wa kada in kana fihi sharrun li. Oh Allah, give me such and such a thing if there's goodness in it for me, and keep that away from me, keep such and such a thing away from me if it's bad for me. So they don't just think, okay, this is must be good, so let me just go for it. Now of course, you can't use this if it's a decision between doing a good deed and a bad deed. You know, that's clear. But this is if, for example, shall I buy this car? I need a car. Shall I buy this car? Oh, this must be very good for me. Yes, you do your diligence. This is the car you want. This is the house you want. This is the coat you want, or whatever it is. But then you still leave it to Allah. Then you get barakah in it. Just by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, if you think this is good, oh Allah, give me this if you think it's good for me. Then when you do get it, if it's good for you, you get it, then you get barakah in it. And if it's bad for you, then you're still saved. It's like a get-out clause every time. Right? It's like a get-out clause every time. I'm going to buy it. Well, I want to buy it, but oh Allah, don't give it to me, it's not good for me. So then you might end up not getting it. But that's a good get-out clause. You might not know, you might feel bad, but it's actually better for you. It's just the adab, that every time we buy something, we think like that. That's why Sayyidi Abdul Qadir al-Jilani used to say, احذر أن تسأل الله شيئاً إلا مع التفويض. You should just avoid asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything without consigning the benefit of that or the harm of that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's almost like you're making Allah responsible for the good or bad of it. Like, I want you to be helping me out here. So he says, avoid doing any dua other than that. That's the way you should make your dua. وَأَمَّا إِذَا أَعْطَاكَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا مِنْ غَيْرِ سُؤَالٍ. Because look, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something without you asking, Allah gives you something, you didn't ask for it, you got it. فَذَٰلِكَ مُبَارَكَ. No doubt that will be blessed. When something comes without being asked, it's blessed. Right? Whatever it may be. It's blessed if it comes without being asked. وَعَاقِبَتُهُ حَمِيدًا. Its results will always be praiseworthy. وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ فِيهِ حِسَابٌ إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And also, no hisab on that. So for example, you didn't go after some special food or some other special garment. Somebody come and give you a hadiyah or something of that nature. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take it. They say that if you are offered something without you, your heart or your nafs having desired it in the beginning, then you should never reject it, because that's come from Allah. And if you reject it, then you're rejecting the ni'mah of Allah. So take it and thank Allah. Because لِقَوْنِهِ جَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ إِسْتِشْرَافِ نَفْسٍ. It's come without your nafs desiring it. Another of the adab, it says, عَدَمُ الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِالنِّعْمَةِ عَنِ الْمُنْعِمِ. They would never become preoccupied with the bounty and forget the giver. Never to become obsessed and preoccupied and totally consumed into the favor that you've received and you forget who gave it to you. Because it is extremely despicable for a servant that he becomes close to the favor and forgets the giver. And that in all reality, in general, for a person to incline towards anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is despicable anyway. Then because of the fact that He is the giver, and you become obsessed with the gift. And this is I think, a problem that pretty much our entire world is involved in. We forget our giver. He gives us, especially us in the West, sometimes, because Allah has given us so much, we become totally immersed in that, and we become forgetful of others. That's why Allah sends us these little reminders, just to make us remind ourselves that, look, it's not about being cozy like that here. You have to do something for yourself and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why another of Sayyidi Abdul Qadir al-Jilani's advices is that إِيَّاكَ أَن تَشْتَغِلْ بِمَا أَعْتَاكَ الْحَقُّ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنَ الْمَالِ فَيَحْجُبْكَ بِذَلِكَ عَنْهُ Dunyan wa ukhra. He says that be completely avoid, be completely distant from, or avoid completely that you become engaged in what the true Lord gives you, wealth. And then that same wealth, it veils you from Allah. So Allah gives you lots of riches or whatever, and then you stop praying, you start enjoying, you start traveling with that, you start splashing out with that, and you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't pray anymore because Allah has given you a lot. Before, when you were in need, you would ask Allah. Now you don't ask Allah. So Allah has given you something, and that same wealth you've disobeyed Him with. Because وَرُبَّمَا سَلَبَ كَذَلِكَ الْمَالُ عُقُوبَةً لَكَ. Because maybe sometimes He may take that wealth away from you as a punishment for you. And then He's saying that whatever wealth Allah has given you, if you use that to obey Him, then that becomes wealth which is praiseworthy, not blameworthy wealth. That's the benefit of it. Allah, give us this tawfiq. Allah, give us this insight. And give us this ability to do this. Now, this is another one which, again, is a bit more specific, but I'll just mention it because there will be benefit. محبت العزلة في البداية دون النهاية. When a person is starting off on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts studying, he starts doing dhikr, he starts getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the adab of the awliya and the righteous is that they first try to remain low-key and isolated and don't get public about it. The reason is that when a person is just starting off, they're very weak. Small amount of praise, small amount of fame, renown will corrupt them. They don't know how to deal with it. Fame is very corruptive. Fame is very corruptive. So it will corrupt them, take them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a person who's, mashallah, stayed and did a lot of dhikr and really purified themselves, and they've learned how to deal with these things,
so he's advanced, then it won't be so easy to corrupt that person. Anybody can be corrupted, aside from prophets. But generally, the more you've had training in this regard, that's why people who become famous very quickly, they have a lot of pitfalls, they have greater possibility of a pitfall. Those who stayed under someone else's tutelage and so on, and then slowly, then they've trained themselves and been trained, then they know how to deal with it. You know, somebody would just smack you down a bit and tell you, look, take it easy, you know, this is not what it is. When a person is advanced, then generally, in front of him, there's going to be two types of people. Whoever he sees then, right? Once a person is well connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then anybody that he sees in front of him is going to fall into only two categories. There can't be a third category, he says. The two categories is that either it's going to be somebody who's got a bit of crookedness and he needs help. So then this person is going to think that I need to help this person. So he's trying to help them with some compassion. The other type of person is going to be the person who doesn't have any crookedness, he's on the straight path. Then in that case, this person is going to try to benefit from him so that he can gain some benefit. So there's only two types of people. Either somebody he can benefit from or somebody he thinks he can help. So that is what you call a person who is never going to be a useless person. Somebody who is either going to take benefit from somebody or he's going to try to help somebody. It's always like that. An active individual. Either benefiting or taking benefit. Never just passive. That's why he says that I don't say that there's going to be three possibilities in front of him. There's only going to be two types of possibilities. Because a logical third possibility may have been somebody equal to him. Right? Just in terms of a logical possibility, theoretically. But he says that we're not going to say that because really, in reality, in this world, there are no two things which are completely 100% alike. No two things are completely 100% alike. There's always going to be something. Even when you take two products of the, there's going to be one that may just have a slight, little dent or a slight dust on it, and the other one doesn't have dust, you know. It's just always going to be of some level is going to be. So when it comes to people, there's always going to be either up or down. So for this person, he has to decide whether he can benefit from him or whether he can benefit that person directly. Yes, he says also that such people will try to stay hungry for long periods, will fast quite a bit, especially in the beginning. And the reason why they fast in the beginning is that food is what gives the nafs a lot of power and strength. So if they try to stay hungry and they fast, then they have a better ability to control their nafs. Otherwise, the nafs is what prevents anybody from progressing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you'll generally see a lot of these people that in the beginning, they will do a lot of fast and everything. Later on, they may do less fast, but that's because they've got enough control now and they don't have to stay as hungry. They can indulge if they need to. Say indulge, it doesn't mean, go overboard with these things, but they can have food if they want to and they don't have to keep long periods of fast and so on, because their training period is over now. Okay, and the next point is وَمِنْ آدَابِهِمْ لُزُومُ الرَّحْمَةِ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. These people, they're always going to have shafaqah and compassion and mercy for the people. Always merciful to the people. Because their whole focus, remember, is to help people and to assist people. So they become like, they get the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is mercy. The reason is that the hadith says الرَّاحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ يَرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That those who act with mercy to others, then the most merciful one acts with mercy towards him, towards them. That's why Sayyidi Ali Al-Khawas used to say that عَلَيْكَ بِالرَّحْمَةِ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تُرْحَمْ. It is necessary for you to be compassionate and merciful to others if you yourself want to be dealt with mercy. وَمِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ لَهُمْ أَنْ تَحْمِلَ حُمُومَهُمْ. Part of being merciful to others is that you also take on their grief and sorrow. You take on their grief and sorrow. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ
حملنا لهموم إخوان المسلمين لا ينافي التسليم كما توهمه بعضهم. Now he's clarifying something here. You know, some people used to say that if there's people who have issues, then it means it may be because that they were sinful and that this is a punishment for their sin. So that's why you can't really take on their grief and so on and so forth. It's a bit, you know, of an issue there. He says there's nothing like that. One is what Allah wants to send them, that's up to that. That's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to act with mercy to people, right? And we need to assist them in that regard. And it doesn't go against the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because فَالْعَبْدُ يَحْمِلُ هَمَّ إِخْوَانِ مِنْ حَيْثُ كَسْبِهِمْ لِلذُّنُوبَ الَّتِي يَسْتَحَقُّ بِهَا الْبَلَاءَ النَّازِلِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيُسَلِّمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ التَّقْدِيرِ الْإِلَهِ الَّذِي سَبَقَ بِهِ الْعِلْمِ إِذْ لَا يُمْكِنْ رَدَّ مِثْلِ ذَلِكَ فَافْهَمْ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ غَلَطَ فِي ذَلِكَ جَمَاعَةٌ مِنْ مَشَائِخِ الْجَهْلِ زَاعِمِينَ أَنَّهُمْ مُسَلِّمُونَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَيُخْرِجُونَ عَلَى مَنْ يَرَوْنَهُ يَحْمِلُ هَمَّ إِخْوَانِهِمْ وَيَقُولُونَ مَا لِفُلَانٍ وَمُعَارَضَةِ الْأَقْدَارِ. Because there's some ignorant ones who used to say that, why are these guys helping these people out? And they are actually interfering with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to punish them or whatever the case is. Now, we're not saying that, you know, it's trying to assist people in their sorrow and their grief. Clearly, it's if a person is a major sinful individual, you're gonna help them to recuperate and hopefully get back on track. You're not going to help them in their sin though. You're not going to help them in their bad deed. But if somebody needs help in terms of their grief and sorrow, and they've got sorrow now, then you need to help them out. That's why it says, مَنْ لَمْ يَحْمِلْ هَمَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. Anybody who doesn't take on the griefs of other believers, then he's not from them. مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنْ. Anybody who is not concerned about the affairs of other believers, then he is not from them. That's why Imam Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, إِذَا نَزَلَ بِالْمُسْلِمِينَ بَلَاءٌ لَا يَدْحَقَّكَ قَطُّ لَا يَدْحَقَّتُ. Imam Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when the Muslimin would be afflicted by some kind of calamity, he wouldn't laugh. Likewise, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Sufyan al-Thawri, Ata al-Sulami, until the calamity was lifted, they wouldn't be laughing. The same with Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. That's why it mentions about Ata al-Sulami, that whenever this would happen, Ata al-Sulami would actually blame himself and say, this is all because of me. And he says that when I die, then people will be then set free. So there's a lot of the pious people of the past, they would be really concerned about others. Another of their adab is that they remind the believers morning and evening about whatever has been mentioned in the Quran, the Sunnah, about how things can be corrupted. So it's like they are trying to help people to keep the insects away from their crops. So the crops are the good deeds that they do in the hereafter. And if you allow the wrongs to come into that, then it will pollute your good deeds. So it's like they are helping people in their fields, the fields of the hereafter. So that's what he says here. Okay, we'll stop here. Allah give us the tawfiq. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules, and at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.